Blog Talk Radio.
Writing stuff like that, he's gonna have his own stuff.
You know what? That's what I'm trying to say. It's so catchy. Did you hear me singing? It's just catchy. I think he has a future in songwriting.
He does. I just wish he would do a little more dancing when he's on stage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the singing, not so much. I don't think so.
Yeah,
I'm just singing. But writing, yeah. Definitely.
Writing, he's got it. He just needs a little, you know, the choreography could be better.
Right, and you know, if he tweaks it a little bit, he could possibly be the most prolific songwriter we've ever had.
He's going to be right up there with Burt Bacharach.
And Bernie Taupin,
yes. Yes.
But
yes.
In a way, none of Bernie Taupin's shit makes any sense. Do you really ever really, really listen to Elton John's lyrics?
Yes, I do. Because Benny, she's an electric queen. She's got a mohair suit, electric boots.
Right.
I read that in a magazine.
Right. But Benny and the Jets.
And the Jets. That shit is gold. What?
Right, with the little tiny dancer.
Oh. And the song that Michael Jackson redid. You know, the song that Michael Jackson redid for that Elton John let him redo. Don't Let Your Son Go Down on Me.
You know what? I just really, really hate you because I was getting indignant. I was like, Michael Jackson ain't remade nobody, no Elton John song. What are you talking? You don't know what you're talking about. If anything, Elton John remade a Michael song. Michael don't remake Elton songs. And here you are with some bullshit.
Just don't let your son go down on me.
You're going to hell.
Well, you know what? When I get to the
gate, I'm sure
that won't even be on the top 50 list. By the time we get there, I'm just like, can I please just go? Because you're wasting everybody's time in line behind me. I'm just going to leave and take Rush Limbaugh with me. Because I don't even know why this motherfucker's even up here.
We don't need to go and atone for our sins. We don't need to list them. Just let us in.
Can I just? I'm sorry for being in your way, bro.
So since we had our last show, global warming took out quite a few.
Man, you talk about coming in threes, right?
Right, who was number three?
You got B.B. King, you got Ann Mirren, and today Lewis Johnson.
Who is Lewis Johnson?
Strawberry led to 23.
No! 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 Seriously? I am touching my curl.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, every morning I bump Get the Funk out of my face.
Every freaking morning. Get the funk out of my face.
Shit, man, seriously?
You don't have to do it. You just have to use it. Funkin' is the thing that all of us produce.
Don't play with my emotions. Really? He wasn't that old. He had to be, what, like 65, 66?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Touch the pearls.
Yeah.
And stop.
60. Matter of fact, he wasn't even 66, he was 60.
Oh, shit. And you know what my jam is, though? Q.
Oh, yeah.
Their instrumentals?
Yeah. And we know who that song was written for or by.
Quincy Jones.
You know the whole album.
What?
Yeah, because you know Quincy produced their album.
And you know what? They had like this nasty falling out, the brothers, and I don't know if they ever made up. What did he die from?
A cause of death is yet to be released by the family.
Besides global warming.
Besides global warming.
I had no idea. I have been so focused on work today, I had no clue.
Yeah.
I gotta go home and I just gotta play the whole album. Out of my face.
Shame and the pity.
Wow.
Yeah, I was blown away today when I heard that news.
Right, I'm blown away now. And knowing that he was only 60, they were young.
Yeah, when they came out the box in the 70s.
Because
he was 7 years older than me. That's pretty freaking amazing.
Right, and I think that album came out in 76.
Probably about 77, 76, yeah. Because I remember listening to it in what we hipsters used to call junior high school.
I remember where we lived when I used to listen to it. So I know it had to be about what my sister said, what she had told me, because I'm only 25. It had to have been like 76, 77.
And they
were already kind of established then anyway. They weren't established, you know, as a group, but they were established as some backup players. They were sought after.
They were Quincy's favorite go-to, especially Lewis. He was the bass player. He did some stuff for your boy Mickety Mickety Mike.
Now, Lewis, that's the tall one with the bigger afro, right? The taller one with the bigger afro. Man, that was the one I had a crush on.
I knew that's right. I just knew
that afro was everything.
I just knew.
Damn. I mean, you know what, though? I mean, we lost B.B. King, and I'm flipping out over, you know, Lewis Johnson, and I was like, who? But, you know, B.B. King was like 90, 89, 90.
Yeah, but you heard the latest on B.B. King, right?
I kind of caught something on this morning. So somebody is saying his AIDS poisoned him?
Yes, his daughter is saying that his two closest aides conspired to poison him. Now,
get the
of
fuck
course,
out of here with that bullshit.
Right now, I'm giving her the side eye. But if the autopsy comes back to hear poison in his system, I'm be like, what?
Right, no, she getting the side eye for real, for real. Well, she kind of has wheels.
She's probably, you know, girlfriend probably got some issues that she's dealing with.
But you know
and
what?
Daddy being gone just ain't really happening for her.
Right. You know what? Grief will jack some people up, for real.
It blows them away.
But, I mean, has she stopped to ask herself, why?
Why are we killing this golden goose? Why they even want the ride to stop?
Right.
You know,
I can't. So it's like, okay, so you've been with him long enough to be called his longtime assistant. So you probably haven't worked for too many other people, so you just gonna kill your golden goose? Okay.
Right. Right.
And
let's not forget that the man suffered with diabetes for at least 30 years.
For real. That's what I'm saying. The fact that he made it to 89 despite all the stuff that comes with diabetes, that's a miracle in and of itself. Hell, healthy people don't make it to 89.
Hello.
Damn near 90, because I think he would have been 90 this year.
One thing he was any healthier.
But Louis Johnson.
Gone too soon.
I thought they would say like he was like living in a trash can or something.
No, because he just gave an interview to Rolling Stone magazine in 2013, I think I read, about Michael Jackson and Michael Jackson's influence. And one of the things, I read this earlier today when I got the news, one of the things he said was, like Michael, he could read music, but he didn't really have to, and no one ever told him to read any music. His lines is something like, they would just tell me, here's what we play, and play what you want, and let's cut it, you know, because he was that brilliant.
Yep, I just Googled it. Dead at 60. What the hell?
It's a shame. It's sad.
Right. Especially because that's my wake-up song. And if you know what, if y'all don't know, if y'all ain't know, y'all ain't ready. You know who knew? Lafayette knew. Remember that episode of True Blood when he was bumping Get the Funk Out of My Face? He was getting it.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking then, I was like, you know what, I hope that they played that song long enough for the Brothers Johnsons to get a little bit of royalty off of it. Okay, I'm done.
So now that I've made your day.
Right, you made me clutch my pearls.
So we lost another one. We lost another one, and so let's go to some more, I don't want to say serious, because, I mean, all of this is serious. I don't know what's more serious than death, but, you know, I immediately thought of you, you know, when they announced the verdict in Cleveland, and I said to myself, if anybody has a reason to go to F off, it's the city of Cleveland. And Cleveland did what? they are holding peaceful protests, and the Justice Department is there just as strong as if they were in Baltimore. Not to say, again, be clear, not to say there wasn't reason for people's consternation in my city, but you're talking about a situation that had happened before there has been any ruling or any information, and versus a city that a judge flat out said, nah, they were justified for standing on the roof of a person's car and shooting them to death after a high-speed chase because we chased them because we thought we heard gunfire when their car backfired. And that's cool. That's okay. That'll work.
Right. Just because, the fact that the only officer that was on trial was the one that got up on the roof just boggled my mind.
Right.
137 bullets. And nobody is more surprised than me that it's peaceful because I was talking to my peeps. And specifically my mother's sister, who is, let's just say, not as refined as my mother. And she said, I quote, I'm coming through here like a torn motherfucking needle, and I'm burning this motherfucker to the ground.
I knew you were gonna say she was fitting to set it off.
a torn motherfucking NATO, and I'm burning this motherfucker to the ground. That, ladies and gentlemen, is my aunt. We share DNA. It's not my play aunt. It's not somebody my mother grew up with. We share DNA.
So we now know where the sock of hot nickels comes from.
Right. I learned a lot from her. Including Tor motherfucking NATO.
Which is, I know, a new one for you. I know that's a new one for you. I know you hadn't heard that one before.
I had. I was like, what? What did you just say? A what? And she said, bitch, you heard me. A tall motherfucking NATO. I said, okay. And you see how she called me a bitch on top of that?
Right. And you knew not to say who you calling a bitch, right? I know at that point you were like, yeah, she's talking to me.
No. No, right. Right. Oh, yeah, right. No, it's you could call me several kinds of bitches. Just don't hit me.
Right.
Cause she that kind of aunt.
Say, I know I'm the baddest motherfucker on the block, but I don't live on her block. So
exactly. Exactly. No, my aunt is, when I say my aunt is hardcore, I have seen her in action. Don't step to her. Don't. Mm-mm. She ain't been to jail. She been to prison.
Do go straight past go. Do not go to jail. Go straight
to
prison.
And was running shit there.
This ain't lockup, motherfuckers. This is the for real.
Right, this is scared straight. And I looked at my mother one day, I said, y'all had the same parents? And my mother just shook her head. She said, Lord Jesus, yes we did. It is a mystery unto all of us.
Yeah, you said she's your mother's older sister?
No, younger sister.
Is she the youngest?
She's the youngest.
Because you know what happened, right? You know she crawled up in bed with your grandparents one day and said, let me tell y'all something. Do I have no more bitches rolling up in here? Are we clear?
Right. No, you know what? My aunt has been running shit for a long time. Look, I'm going to tell you, this is how hardcore my aunt is. my grandfather was a heavy drinker, and they owned, like, they owned a grocery store and a bar and whatnot. And my aunt, my grandmother busted my aunt driving my grandfather home when he was drunk. She was 10. She had rolled up in the bar and got my grandfather in the car and drove his ass home. That's all I got to say about my aunt, which is why I don't mess with her.
She is the original Bebe's kid.
She is. She is. She's the original Dolomite. She's the original Bebe kid. She's the original Cookie off of Empire. Don't mess with my aunt. My aunt is a kind of, my aunt will stab you at the dinner table with a fork if you look at her wrong. She will stab you right in the damn hand.
And then tell you, stop crying, bitch. It's just your hand.
Right, it's just your hand. Right. You know what? You've been at the table with us. So, anyway, back to the topic. Nobody is more surprised than me that Cleveland is not currently in flames, because I thought it was going down.
Well, I would have thought. I mean, when they first said, police officer was found innocent or found not guilty of the shooting death, I immediately thought the little kid in the park, right, where they rolled up.
Right.
And they said they rolled up and told him to drop his gun, and he didn't. They shot. When the video shows, they jumped out the car like Starsky and shot Hutch and shot the kid several times before he could blink. But then this, you know, when they said what it really was, I was like, wait a minute, yeah, that was a couple years ago. So Cleveland is rolling deep with this bullshit. I know they're going to burn this mother down. And still everyone is showing
strength. Wasn't it like an older couple, too, or just was a couple?
They're about my age, maybe younger than me. So that made them 20 years
old. Yeah, it was a man and a woman, right?
Right, it was a couple.
That's what I thought.
Well, we know they weren't too old because it was a high-speed chase. A high-speed chase with someone in their 70s is like we're doing 45 and a 30.
But when it first happened, something came out about the reason why it was a high-speed chase. And it wasn't because of any crime. I can't remember the particulars.
No, the car backfired, and they thought someone had fired shots out the car. And evidently, when the police started chasing them, the people driving, and I believe the woman was driving, and I'm not sure all those details, and I don't like to report stuff that, I should say I don't like to report on stuff that I don't have all the details on. But I do believe the woman was driving, and, we won't know for sure, but I can imagine she just panicked. Seeing these police cars chasing her for no reason, she floored it. Which to me is understandable and justifiable.
Well, what they say in Detroit, at least we're not Cleveland.
At least we're not Cleveland. And that, you know, that's what we say here too, but that's more about our football teams.
Unbelievable.
Scary crazy. Scary crazy. It's just not right. But I mean, and I don't want to say that Baltimore should not have reacted the way Baltimore reacted. Because I still don't think Baltimore reacted the correct way on a lot of it. But those circumstances, to me, justify some people violently demanding some answers. Because you had a trial, you had a judge decide that, nah, everything is good, when all the information points to everything not being good, that's when you say, look, something's just not right here.
Well, you know, when they fired 37 bullets, let alone 137 bullets, minus the two that, or however many he shot from the roof. I mean,
exactly,
it was a
right.
car. It wasn't like no tank.
Yeah. Right.
The Justice Department have to come in and take over the police department, the police force in Cleveland. That's just it. They act a fool.
I think they believe they're Cobra. Wasn't Sylvester Stallone in Cleveland in the movie Cobra?
It was The Expendables.
I mean, I just don't understand how this is justifiable. And again, maybe because I'm too close to the situation here in Baltimore, you know, my disgust on so many levels about what happened in Baltimore, the man should have never been arrested to begin with. If he's not arrested because he was doing nothing, then we're not having this conversation. That's one. But two, he's arrested, he dies, and before there's any inquest, before there's any determination, before anyone has a chance to say, we're not going to look into it or we're going to look into it, people use it as an excuse to go crazy and act a fool. In Cleveland, people showed restraint. They got a determination that no one is happy with, except maybe the officer who stood on top of the car and fired into these people. But the city is still like, yeah, okay. All right, now we know. Now we know. And I have not, of course, you know I don't normally, but I have not looked at Fox News to hear their spin on this bullshit. But I don't see any way you can justify this in any way, shape, or form. In any way, shape, or form.
I hope their family sues the hell out of Cleveland. That they ain't got no money anyway.
Yeah, well, they will find money. Something get ready to be paid for. You know what I'm saying? Because if we can find money to build the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we can find some money to pay some people whose family was devastated. It's just beyond ridiculous to me. So speaking of ridiculous, beyond ridiculous to me, I want to thank you, and I'm not sure I did it the last time we were on the air, but I want to thank you, and we probably didn't because this is relatively new. I want to thank you for giving me my new catchphrase that I will use for the rest of my life. It allows me to say whatever the silly shit I want to say and justify it and walk away. I feel almost like Ricky Bobby saying, with all due respect, which, according to him, allows you to say whatever you want to say and get away with it. But the devil was in my mouth is the new phrase that I get to use. It's a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Wait, you're only going to use that one? You're not going to use the other one I gave you?
The other one's
because I gave you two gems.
You did, but I can't always use, at least I didn't use the N-word, I can't always use that, but I can use the devil was in my mouth. When I see somebody that looks ratchet, I can say, that bitch is ugly. Oh, I'm sorry. The devil was in my mouth. I don't know what was wrong with me. The devil was in my mouth.
I'm using it too.
That's an ugly I'm baby. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. The devil was in my mouth.
Well, I'm using both of them frequently.
In case no one else knows what we're talking about, Kamal called me one morning as I was getting in the shower, and I'm beginning to think that new lamppost that was put outside my window is really her camera, remote-operated camera, because you always call me when I'm ready to step in the shower. And told me about this principal in outside of Atlanta, Georgia, who lost her job at the school she started, the alternative school she started, for her stupid comments and as it relates to the commencement exercise, the 2015 commencement exercise at the school. So the whole story is the commencement exercise was happening. The ceremony ran long. They did not have time for the valedictorian to speak. And people started to get up and leave. And before that, she had gotten frustrated with...
She actually dismissed everybody. And it was
trying to call everybody
back.
Right. She dismissed everybody and called everybody back because she had forgotten to allow for the valedictorian speech. And she claims, and other people verify this, that she was getting frustrated because some fool, probably somebody's parent or uncle, it's probably Uncle Nookie, Uncle Junebug, kept walking up to the stage taking pictures with the people on the dais because that's what some people do. And it flustered her.
And also people were leaving because she had dismissed them.
Right, but she said she was flustered behind this fool and couldn't get him to stop and couldn't get him to leave, and people were cheering him on. So when she dismissed people, she realized she did not let the valedictorian say his or her little part in the commencement. So she started calling people back, and some people were coming back and some people were continuing to leave. And this woman, out of her face, said, "And look who's leaving, the black people." Which set off...
I don't even think she said black people. I think she just said the blacks.
She may have just said the blacks. But it set off a storm within the auditorium. As people were videotaping this with their cell phones, thank you, interwebs, for creating social media. So, of course, this set off a firestorm. Media jumped all over it. The news media jumped all over it. And she was interviewed by local and national networks, and her justification in her interviews is what really, I think that got her fired more so than her saying what she said during the commencement. And when Kamal told me this, I fell out. I was like, "You're lying. You have to be lying to me. You're lying to me. I'm going to turn off the shower and get on the computer and look up this story because you have to be lying to me." And sure enough, in her justification for her quote-unquote apology, what got me most, even more so than the things we just talked about, she said she's not racist. Everyone who knows her knows she's not racist. She didn't know calling people black was offensive. she said on NBC.
I didn't call them the N-word.
No, before that, she said
the devil was in her mouth. Her mouth is...
Right. But wait a minute. Did you catch the part where she said, what was I supposed to call them? African Americans? Lord, they're not from Africa. They're from here.
it just went downhill from there. If at all possible, it went downhill from there. Well, they're not from Africa, they're from here. And at least I didn't call them the N-word. It's just that the devil was in my mouth.
Anyone can understand that. And then what was priceless is her son got on Twitter and made some comment about, "You niggas ain't shit. Y'all think you tough. Come over here," or something to that effect, which somebody got hold to the family and said, "No, no, no, this is not helpful."
Right.
And he took it down. Oh,
but it's
my
not
gosh.
Her vocabulary. I guess the
right, it's not her vocabulary.
The son, too. The devil's in the mouth of her son, too.
You know how bad you have to screw up to be fired from the job you create? The business that you start?
Right. I didn't know about the Twitter thing.
She, you know, there,
yeah,
there's
that's
a,
what,
there's
that's
a point.
You have to take it to them. You see a nigga, you come kick a nigga's ass. That's what you have to say.
But there's a point where, you know, I thought most people with common sense, or not even common sense, most people with any kind of conscience would know, maybe I shouldn't say what I'm about to say, so I'm not going to say it. And I myself have been guilty of saying things anyway, and then as I'm saying it, saying to myself, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said it that way, or shouldn't have said that. But then I stop. And I think most people should learn to stop. When you say, at least I didn't call them the N-word, once you hear that come out your head, you should know, I'm going to go inside now and never speak again on this again. You should know this. But you could have just, she could have gotten away with it and said, look, this is what was going on. This fool continued to stay on my nerves while we're trying to do the commencement. I got carried away. I really deeply regret everything I said. I deeply regret the way things came out. It really wasn't my intent. I apologize profusely. I throw myself on my sword. And that's all. But to try to justify it?
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
I had a similar experience, but it was with an older white guy. We were arguing, and he didn't like what I was saying, and he called me a negress. And his justification was, well, what, should I call you a Negro? I was like, it's 2009. What the hell are you talking about? No, don't call me a Negress or a Negro. But, you know, I let it slide because he was like 107. But I told him, well, he was tone deaf because other people jumped to my defense. And, you know, and my point was, it doesn't matter if you're trying to be politically correct or whatever. I'm telling you that it offends me personally. And since you are dealing with me personally, stall it out. I'm offended. Shut up. Apologize and shut up. And keep it moving. But don't, you know, just keep saying stuff like, well, you know, what do you want me to call you? Well, maybe I didn't call you this.
Right.
Why are you calling anybody Negress or Negro in 2009? And in this case, it's 2015. What the hell?
Why do you think this is cool? Why do you feel like you can say to me, in the midst of this conversation, I shouldn't be upset because I called you anything? You know, unless when you say certain things in certain situations, you are asking for a fight or to set some shit off.
Set it
so
off.
So either
right.
own it, right? Either own it or shut the fuck up or apologize. You can't walk it back. You can fall on your sword, or you can just like, you know, put the Vaseline on because it's time to go to Knuckle City.
Right.
You have to
on earrings off.
Earrings off. You gotta own it or deeply apologize. You can't justify it and make it okay. Same thing like you did years ago. I was well within my 20s, maybe early 30s. I think back about it, maybe my early 30s. But when I was lifting weights, pressing weights, and all Joe Muscle Neck, was in the gym, and the gym was closing. And I just come out of the locker room, get ready to leave, and one of the ladies at the front desk said to me, "Yale, is there anyone left in the men's locker room? Because I have to, you know, close the club. I want to go through." And I said, "I think there's one gentleman back there drying off." And she said, "Could you tell him to leave because it's closing time?" And I walked in the back and I said, "Excuse me, you got to leave now. The club is closing." And he said to me, "All right, boy, give me a second." And I said, What? What? Boy? You know what he said? He had a justification defense. He came at me with, "Yeah, boy. I mean, you're younger than me. You're a boy. I'm a man." I said, I'm over 21, well over 21. I'm not a boy." And he said, "Well, you'll always be a boy to me because I was probably your age when you were a snotty-nosed little kid."
Well, you know what?
So,
when you see a boy, come kick a boy's ass.
No, I didn't. I kind of Baltimore reacted. I didn't Cleveland react. Because, again, I was young, I was lifting weights, I was full of testosterone, and, you know, I kind of picked him up and threw him back into the locker room, explained the difference between a boy and a man. A boy couldn't pick your ass up like I'm doing, could he? So, yeah, I wasn't allowed to go to the gym for a while, but I got my point across. And evidently, I didn't know, and he didn't know at the time that the devil was in his mouth.
Reminds me of the Muhammad Ali fight. Where I forget who his opponent was, but he wouldn't call him Muhammad Ali. He kept calling him Cassius. And then Muhammad Ali
Cassius Clay.
His ass. And while he was trying to catch his breath, he said, "What's my name?
Pop, pop!
I bet you say Muhammad now, bitch."
bet you'll be saying Alibaba Akbar, my sister, and my brother.
Right. Assalamu alaikum.
And the sad thing about it is you know. But here's the deal, right? Because we kind of, little TL and I were having this conversation on Facebook earlier about this video that she sent out. You know, to me, when you go there, you're going there because you're ready to thump. You don't go there to get the upper hand because that's not what's going to happen. You're not going to just call somebody a nigga and then they're going to feel okay. Like you, the person you said nigga to is going to be like, "Oh, okay. Well, you used the N word. I guess I should know my place." This
right,
is the opportunity for you to.
Away.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh shit. She said nigga. All right. Okay. It's over. We
no,
have no
you know
comeback
what?
For that.
In that video, nigga wasn't the tipping point. The spitting is what did it.
Right. But again, my question is, what happened for her to think that she could use nigger and win? Because you know, just like, okay, so I watched the season
for
Saturday Night Live.
Wait, set it up because not everybody has seen the video.
Okay, so, yeah, real quick. It's a video that is gone viral of a man with a cell phone confronting this woman on the street. And
White woman.
A black man, he's videotaping this conversation, his confrontation with this white woman, and saying, "What did you just call me?" And she said, "A nigga. That's how you're acting.
It's deeper than that, because the nigga, and he was in her face. Well, why did you say that? Why did you call him that? She said, because he's a dirty, filthy nigger, and so are you. And then she just kept ratcheting it up. And then she got on the phone, was like, "You need to come get me, because I'm sitting here arguing with this dirty, filthy nigger." And then that's when he's like, "What did you call me?"
Right. You're right. You're right. Right. So, of course, at this point,
he didn't even stop at nigga. He had to be a dirty, filthy one on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then she had to use it repeatedly again after that. So,
yeah,
you know, and so to my point on this, I just watched the season finale of Saturday Night Live the other night, and it was hosted by Louis C.K. And in his opening, with his monologue in the opening, he did a bit on child molesters and, you know, how great molesting children must be, that people would risk what they risk to do it. I mean, he said, "I'm not saying it, but you got to think, it's got to be pretty great that you would continue to do this knowing what the consequences are. I mean, it's got to be so great that you don't care." Right? So to me, you must really think that using the word nigger, calling somebody a nigger, is going to make you feel so good that the ass whipping that's coming is going to be okay. You know, because you can't. This is not the end argument statement.
No, in her case, it was white privilege. She felt that she was a white woman, and mm-hmm. therefore, she could say and do whatever she wanted, because she's not going to get in trouble. The black man is.
But it never occurs to people. Maybe they, like, you know, they say, like, with black people, one of their derogatory statements about us is that we revert to our animal instincts and do certain things, and we become, you know, uncultured or uncivilized or certain things. I think with white people, their innermost Southern heritage gene pops out of their head, and they think, "I'm going to use nigger, and next thing I know, I'm going to be magically transformed to the plantation where everybody's going to be singing songs and picking cotton, and no one's even going to look me in the eye if I use the word nigger." So they get shot when shit sets off when they say that.
Either that, or they think the State Farm genie's going to come and get them real quick, or them to another place.
But they go to Fantasyland, right? Because when you say that, you have to be ready to fight. It's just like you said earlier on the show. When your aunt called you bitch, you knew you weren't going to question it. But if somebody on the street calls you bitch, you know they know it's because we get ready to fight. So if I call you nigga, if I'm white, I must either think, well, this is going to put him in his place, and somebody going to be picking my cotton, or I have to be prepared to fight now. And if you're not prepared, if you say it and then get surprised, you get just shit slapped out you like that woman did in the video, you had to know it was coming. And, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do this anyway.
I also think it's a gender thing, too, because I think that there are some women who push that envelope, because men are conditioned to not strike a woman. And I told you, I stood by while my brother slapped the shit out of his baby's mama because she spit in his face. Any other time I would have gotten between them, I might have hit her because she was talking long shit before she spit. In fact, usually I did get in between the two of them and I would just, you know, pop upside her head and be done with it. But she spit right in his face and I just moved out the way. My brother slapped the holy shit out of her. And I didn't, you know what? When you do something nasty like that and spit in somebody's face, be prepared for your beatdown. Because I tell you what, somebody spits in my face, it's on. Because that's just nasty.
It's not,
you can call me.
You nailed it.
Get away with it.
No, we're going to fight just from a different fight.
Away with. Right. I might let you get away with call me bitch maybe once, but not twice. But you spit on me, that's an instantaneous. And not just on me, she spit in his face.
Right. And so you nailed it in our conversation about the video. You know, it is even before AIDS was real, even before AIDS was like a real fear for people. So clearly before Ebola, the worst outbreak of a non-lethal anything ever made the bird flu go, child, please, we are free at last. But, you know, spitting on people in the state of Maryland, if you spit on someone, you are committing assault and battery. If you yell at someone, if you call someone a nigger, that's assault. If you spit on someone or hit them, that's battery. So if you spit on me, then, and I know I have lawyers that listen to the show who may tell me different, but I believe this is true. If you spit on me, I feel like I can defend myself by any means necessary because you've thrown the first, maybe not the first punch, but you've struck me first.
Yeah, and a lot.
And if I'm wrong about that, I want one of the legal people who listen to this show to tell me if I'm wrong about that. But if you spit on, in Maryland, if you spit on someone, you have committed assault and battery, and you just best be prepared that it's about to escalate ugly. It's not going to be ISIS versus Iraq. It's going to be, Nagasaki, Japan versus United States Air Force. It's going to be instant, like Armageddon on you. And
right. In a lot of places, you spit on somebody and it's just as if you have punched them in the face.
Yeah, assault and battery.
And you can defend yourself however you see fit. Now, that said, if you shoot a person for spitting on you, you might get in a little bit of trouble.
it may be a trial, but I can prove you spit on me. You know, I guess legally Monica Lewinsky could claim that Bill Clinton assaulted and battered her.
Shut up.
just
damn dumb.
I'm thinking that maybe I could be wrong.
I don't know, but I'm just putting it out there. You spit on me, and that's your ass. Period, point blank, no discussion. The Vaseline will come on. The tennis shoes will come on. The earrings will go off. And we will be knuckling up. Now, given my age...
25.
I might have a little bit of trouble. 25. I might have a little trouble in my knees and in my knuckles. But we gonna throw down until my back goes out.
That's my justification for shooting you if you spit on me. Because if someone says he spit on you, why'd you shoot him? Because he obviously wanted to get rid of body fluids as quickly as possible. And two, if he spit on me, I don't want to hit him and then have, his blood get on me. So since he wants to get rid of body fluids, I'm helping him.
Right. Clearly, he wanted his ass whooped.
Clearly.
you know, suicide by police. this is suicide by spitting.
Right. All we are saying is give your death a chance.
Right. So anyway, you actually, I don't know what the outcome is of that. I'm looking for a longer video, and I don't know what the outcome is because, I mean, he is on video smacking the shit out of her a couple times because, you know, you see her on the ground at one point.
Right.
So I don't know what the outcome of that is. And wasn't it in somewhere in the Carolinas?
I think it was in Carolinas. I think it was in Charlotte, but don't hold me to that because I didn't get real deep into the ins and outs of the video because I was like, this fool here.
Right.
Why?
So give
you know, sometimes you just want to go, why?
You know, given where it is, if it's in the Carolinas, like I think he may not stand a chance because he done hit a white woman.
But he's got the video of her spitting on him, so.
Right, and you know what? Her language was an assault, too. You know, she was saying.
Right, the language is an assault.
Hate, with such hate, I mean, y'all, you don't even know. She was like this dirty, filthy nigger. I mean, just like that, she was just angry. Because that's what you
well,
are.
Well, I guess she figured.
Dirty, filthy nigger.
I guess she figured he wasn't from Africa, so she couldn't call him an African-American.
Right. I guess her defense is the devil was in my mouth.
The devil was in it? Well, he slapped the devil out of mouth, that's for damn sure.
And out of the mouth of her kids and her grandkids and her great-grandkids.
And the person on the other end of the phone she was talking to probably went, damn!
Mm-hmm. But you know what? In all honesty, if that is how she lives her life and she has children, I want CPS to go into that house because as far as I'm concerned, if you are teaching your children something that vile, then that's child endangerment. I'm sorry. And I know that is, you know, that would be the government crossing the line, but I cannot see how that is a healthy environment when you are teaching your children that level of hate.
Well, you know, like the Richard Pryor line was, if you like, when they teach immigrants to come here, they teach them, nigga. Yeah, yep, that will definitely get you a job as a cabbie in New York City or get your ass whipped on the streets. You've learned enough.
Well, I'm going home and put on some Brothers Johnson. I'm gonna pump it in my car because I got four of their songs on my iPod. So, I'm going to pour some out for old Louis Johnson.
I'm just going to say phrasing. Just, can we work on our delivery on certain things?
What? What did I say?
If you're going to pour some out for Louis Johnson.
Right. What?
It'll come to you later and you'll be mad at me. But I know you're naive. So pull up to the bumper with that one, Kamal.
What did I say?
Ask the King of Queens. He'll let you know. Love you.
I'm not going home and asking my husband that because he's going to wonder what I was doing today.
See you. <See ya. laughs>
I hate you. What did I say?